the series that I have started. I don't know how far we'll get, how long it'll last, but I've started on dealing with the believer's mind, the main battlefield. Sunday morning I preached part one, Sunday night I preached part number two. Tonight I want to go into part number three, and I want to try to help us. And I know that that we're living in a day where people's mind is, some of them has got such a troubled mind. The Bible speaks of different types of mind. We talked about that already. There's the corrupt mind, the wicked mind. And we know that there's a doubtful mind. There's many things we can talk about as far as the mind is concerned. There's the carnal mind, the sorrow of mind, the grief of mind. And we dealt with the grief of mind on Sunday. And I want to back up for just a few minutes and I want to touch on that once again. And the Bible talks about that in Genesis chapter 26, verse number 34 and 35. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, if you want to just listen for just a moment and let me share some thoughts with you tonight. And then we'll look at our passage of Scripture. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that's where I'm going for my text verse tonight. But I want to share with you again from Sunday night, just a little refresher for those that were here, then for those that wasn't here. Genesis chapter 26. In verse number 34, the Bible there is dealing with someone, as a matter of fact, it's two someones that had some problems in their home, and they had a problem with their mind. We look in Genesis chapter 26, in verse number 34, the Bible says, and Esau was 40 years old when he took a wife, Judith, the daughter of Beri, the Hittite, and Bashmath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite. And here he is, he's 40 years old, and he takes these two wives. Notice verse 35, the Bible says, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. And we discussed that on Sunday evening, how that was a grief of mind because the children did not do as the parents had wanted them to do or had expected them to do. And the Scripture says it was a grief of mind, and that grief of mind simply means that it was as if he had died. That's the grief that they were suffering because Esau did not do what his parents had expected him to do or had wanted him to do when he married these two women. Now, we understand that, reading that verse of Scripture, that no doubt the children had broke the hearts. And we're living in a day where children break hearts of the parents still. Amen? Yeah. We dealt with that a little bit on Sunday night. And children still break our hearts. Even in the Bible, we find that children are breaking hearts. And it's not an uncommon thing. It happens. And I dealt with that on Sunday night on how children shame their parents. Sometimes they do things that's so wrong and so against God that it shames the parents. But on the flip side of that coin, the parents sometimes do things to bring shame to the children. Amen? And the children are so ashamed of their parents because of their actions and the things that they do that is against God. I had a teenage girl one time in the youth ministry got saved. She told me, she said, "Preacher, I can't go home. Tell Mom and Daddy I got saved. They'll kick me out of the house." Well, what a sad day it is. Amen? To kick a child out of the home for trusting Christ as their Savior. But we understand tonight that people deal with things like that. And you and I deal with things in our life, whether it's a child that's done things against the will of God and the Word of God, or whether we've seen other people do things that's against the will of God. But we know, according to the Bible, that we have to understand that there's times when grief of mind happens, when things like that take place, whether it's a child that's hurt the parents' feelings, whether it's someone else that's hurt the child or hurt the individual. But then we find here as we look at in this passage of Scripture how Isaac and Rebekah deal with that. We go to Hebrews chapter number 11 and we find there that Isaac is there as one of the heroes of the faith. And we understand that he had grief of mind, and we talked about that Sunday night, how that grief of mind didn't hinder him in his work and walk with the Lord. And we understand tonight as we look at the Scripture that there was grief of mind and it was pain in the heart, no doubt, and there was something he was dealing with, but he did not let that hinder him from serving the Lord. And he goes down in the Hebrews Hall of Faith for being a one of faith. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, amen, was the leaders of faith. And so we know, according to that, that this means it is possible to have your mind grieving, but yet the other part of your mind devoted unto the living God. Amen. We understand that. And not dwelling on a situation or not blaming God for the situation. Amen. We're not blaming God for what had happened, but moving on. Amen. Not staying stuck on that situation or that problem that took place. Now, I want to go tonight and deal with this thought. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 5. You pray for me tonight. I'm going to try to help us the best that I can. This is what the Lord's put on my heart through the week. Been meditating, praying about the service. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5. The Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to use that tonight and deal with this thought of forgetting the unforgettable. Forgetting the unforgettable. I am still titling the message of the believer's mind, the main battlefield, and that's exactly what it is. It is a battlefield. The devil wants to destroy us, amen, and he does that through the effects that he has on our mind. Things that happen in life, things that circumstances beyond our control. And if we ponder on those things, if we think on those things and blame God for those things, we'll find ourselves separated from God, out of fellowship with God, amen, and our life will be a wreck. I know according to Scripture, I've studied this before, I've went through the Scripture, went through the Bible, I learned in Bible school. One of the greatest things in my life was to learn to forgive. I understood in Bible school we had a lesson on forgiveness, and first time I ever applied it as I should have. And in forgiveness, we forgive someone when they offend us or they hurt us. Now, I want to deal with that for just a moment tonight as we think on those thoughts. Whenever someone has hurt us, now we understand that Esau had done something that was unexpected of the parents. There's all throughout the Bible we find that those that done things that was unexpected, amen, and that hurt others. I think of David and how his son Absalom had done against him and hurt him, and no doubt that he hurt him. And I think about others throughout the Bible that had people to hurt them, whether it was a child or whether it was an individual, or whatever the case was, somebody that they knew, a friend or whatever, that had hurt them. And I know that the Bible teaches us this thing about forgiveness. Now, I want to deal with that tonight. I want you to just pray for me. I'm trying to find my verse of Scripture here to help you. I know that people say in our day, and I've heard it said so many times, people make these, especially on the television set, someone gets killed, someone gets murdered, or some accident takes place, or some, not accident, but something takes place where somebody hurts somebody else. Well, they shooting or whatever may take place, whether they die or not. Someone will get on, some mother will get on the television set and say, well, I know we have to forgive them of what they done. Now, I know the Scripture says, in the Scriptures it teaches the lesson on forgiveness. And we all understand what the word forgive means in layman's terms, in our society, in today's terms, we understand what forgive means. But God's definition of forgive is not what we think it is. Amen? God's definition of forget is not what we think it is. Alright? So I'm going to help you tonight. In Matthew chapter 6, you can write these down. You don't have to follow along if you don't want to. You can write these down. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter number 6, Christ is speaking and He says in verse number 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so automatically people think that the Bible teaches us no matter what happens, no matter what somebody does, we have to forgive them. You're not godly tonight if you don't forgive people for hurting you. Amen. You're not godly tonight if you don't follow the Scripture and forgive the child for hurting you. You're not godly tonight, or you're not right with God if you don't forgive somebody for shooting you. or somebody that killed your dog or whatever the case is. Now, I know what the Scripture is saying, and we understand, we read that, we see that. If we forgive men their trespasses, verse 15, if we forgive not the men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. But it does not stop there. The Bible does not contradict itself. Amen? Amen. Everybody with me? The Bible does not contradict itself. God will not tell you to do one thing, then turn around and tell you to do something else. That's not the way it works. Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11 tonight. The Bible says, verse number 26, But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. There it is again, alright? Then we go to Luke. It's found in all of the Gospels here. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All three of those. Luke chapter 17. I want you to watch this now. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 3. Take heed to yourselves. Go to underline that. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, what's this now? Rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Y'all see that?
Yes.
You hear that?
Yes.
If he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now hold on. We understand the Bible says, forgive, amen, thy brother of his trespasses. But we come to the Gospel of Luke, and here we find that there's a condition for that forgiveness. The Bible says, if thy brother trespass against thee, first of all, you're to rebuke him. Amen? You're to confront them with their trespass. You're to confront them with what they did that has offended you. Amen? Y'all with me? You hear that? If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, confront him, instruct him on what he has done that has hurt you, that has harmed you, that has broke your heart, that has broke your mind, that has upset you. You're to tell them, confront them with that, and rebuke them, saying, you have hurt me, you have offended me in this thing that you've done. Now let me stop right there and pause for just a second to say this. And there's no need to argue. There's no need to fuss. There's no need to get into some big battle about what they've done. Only thing you have to do is confront them, say, you have offended me in this such and such thing that you've done. That's all you got to do. Amen? There ain't no need to try to start no fuss or fight. The Bible says, if he repent, then you forgive him. So what you're doing as a brother and sister in Christ, what you're doing is you're holding them accountable for their actions. They've done something that's outside of the will of God, that is not according to the Word of God. They've done something that has hurt you, it has offended you, it has broke your heart, and you're dwelling on that thing, and that thing gets into your mind, and I'll get to that in just a second. But the Scripture teaches us that if they repent, you confront them, you let them know the sin that they've committed, the thing that they've done against you, that has hurt you, that has offended you. And then if they repent, the Scripture says you've got to forgive. But there's a condition. They have to repent. Now, I know the Scripture goes on to say, if he trespasses against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, said, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Here's the thing you got to understand about forgiveness and repentance. If they say they repent, they don't go and commit the same act seven times. If they repented, they don't do that again.
Amen.
Amen? What the Scripture is teaching here is that they do something else that offends you. And come and says, I'm sorry, forgive me, I didn't mean to offend you, then you forgive them. And they do, and they commit another act, and it offends you. Then they come to you again, and you let them know that they have offended you. And they come to you and say, I'm sorry that I offended you, please forgive me for offending you. And seven times in a day, if they do that, then you're to forgive them. If they turn from that, amen, and they repent of that, they don't do it again. That's how forgiveness works. The biggest problem we have in our day is everybody thinks we have to forgive everybody. And nowhere in the Scripture does it say that we have to forgive, and you're not godly if you don't forgive. The condition is that you have to rebuke them. You've got to do your part in rebuking that, confronting them with what's offended you. And if they ask you to forgive them, and they turn from that, and they don't do that again, then you forgive them. Amen? That's how that works. Now, go with me, Acts chapter number 12. If you want to, you can. It'd be good. Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 12, verse number 8. The Scripture says, "And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." So he did. That little word gird there goes right along with 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, bringing into captivity every thought. And so this word gird thyself, it's the same when they have on these robes, they used to wear robes, and they would gird them up. And what that means is they pull them up close to them. They draw them up. They're fixing to go into battle. They're fixing to do some activity or run or whatever they're fixing to do. But they pull it up. They draw it up into them. They pull that thing and gird that up. That's what it means. And the Scripture teaches us in the 1 Peter chapter number 1. Now we understand what gird means. And verse number 13. The Bible says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And so as we understand this thing of forgiveness, when someone hurts us and we rebuke them and they do not repent, they do not say, "Forgive me." And we find ourselves many times dealing with people like that that has not asked for forgiveness. And you do not forgive them. You hold them accountable. That is your obligation as a believer. Hold them accountable for the sin, for their actions and the things. Listen, I know that's sometimes hard living. It's difficult to do those things. But if they have not asked for forgiveness, you don't forgive them. You hold them accountable. If they do ask for forgiveness and they say, I want you to forgive me, and they repent of that, you're to forgive them. But listen, you don't turn them loose and let them go right back out and doing things that they was doing before. Let's say, for an example, someone in the church that does something against the church and they offend someone in the church. Well, you don't let them run back out and go right back into the ministry. They've got to prove themselves, amen, that they have turned from that. They're not going to do that again. All right, so now I want to deal tonight on this thing of forgetting the unforgettable. When someone offends you and they do not repent of that, they do not ask for forgiveness. I'm using Esau here as he hurt his parents. And his parents, the Bible says, had grief of mind. Unbearable grief that they were dealing with because of his decision. There's many folks tonight that's dealing with things in their mind that their parents done. There's people today that say, "I do what I do because my parents were mean to me. My parents beat me. My mother beat me, or my dad beat me." Or they have all kinds of excuses about the things that their parents did. "My mother was never at home and I had to raise myself," or whatever excuse they want to come up with. And they blame it on the parents. And that's why they react the way they react. That's no excuse. Amen? That's no excuse. God doesn't say in the Scripture that you're excused from being responsible for your actions because of the way your parents treated you. Amen? God never says that anywhere in the Scripture that you're excused from your actions because of the way your parents treated you. Doesn't say that. Amen? Everybody, listen, has the mind, and we're to take control of our mind. Bring into captivity every thought. Amen? And so we're to deal with those thoughts. Now what happens is, whenever someone offends you, a child hurts you. Let's say, for an example, that the child has ran out and eloped with some stranger and have no idea who that person is, and they just went AWOL and got into drugs and got into alcohol and all those things, and they was raised in church and they run from God and run from the home and just went crazy. That would no doubt bring grief to mind. Amen? Now that would hurt you like you would not believe. And it's understandable that that would hurt you. But you have to hold them accountable. You cannot forgive them unless they turn from that. Repentance is to turn from it. And they come back and they repent of it and they ask you to forgive them, and you have to forgive them. But if they don't, you still have that grief of mind and that thought process every single day. And if you're not careful, that will drive you crazy. It'll drive you literally out of your mind. If someone hurts you, whether it's a co-worker, if it's a pastor of the church, I've been hurt before by pastors. Amen? They came at me and said things against me. And I had to deal with that kind of mess. Amen? And listen, those, if it's a pastor that's hurt you, if it's a deacon that's hurt you in the church, people are out of church because people have been hurt in church, and nobody ever confronted anybody, and nobody's ever repented because they didn't even realize, maybe, possibly, they didn't realize. Some of them probably did. But and listen, nobody said anything, and so the whole thing is blown out of proportion, and there's prisoners of their own mind because they haven't dealt with those problems. If they do not ask for forgiveness, how do I erase that from my mind, this thing that someone has done to me? How do I clean my mind of what my child has done? How do I erase that from my memory, what my co-worker has done, or what my spouse has done, or what my family has done against me, or whatever the case, what my pastor's done, or my deacon in the church, or the choir leader, whatever. How do I erase that from my mind? Well, I've got news for you. You can't. Amen? Ain't no way you can erase those things from your mind. They're there. Now, what's the Bible? Ephesians chapter number 4, real quickly. Ephesians chapter number 4. How do I get these things out of my mind? I can't erase them. They're there. I've been hurt. I've got grief of mine and sorrow of mine for these things that's happened. And I think back through the Scripture. I think of several different passages of Scripture. I think about the Apostle Paul. I think about David. I think about Elijah and many others. How they were hurt and how they were attacked. How Jezebel came at Elijah. And the things he tried to do to him, tried to threaten him, going to kill him. I think about all those things. And I don't have time to preach all that tonight. But there's places all throughout the Bible where people have been hurt. How did David deal with Absalom, his very son, that's trying to take his throne, take his authority away from him? How did he deal with that? I'm going to show you how he dealt with it. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another," what's this now, "even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now I want to say tonight, everybody in this world is not forgiven. God has not forgiven everybody. Listen, there's people dying right now going to hell. God has not forgave them because they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not ask for repentance. They did not repent. They did not turn from their wicked ways. And God is sending people to hell right now tonight because they rejected the promises of the Word of God and they never asked for forgiveness. God holds them accountable. Y'all with me? God holds them accountable. And you and I tonight are in control of our mind and we hold people accountable for the things they've done to us. But the Scripture teaches us that we are to forgive as God for Christ's sake forgave us. God forgave us when we asked for forgiveness. Right? We repented of our sin, asked God to save us, turned from our wicked ways, and we repented, we turned from our wicked ways, and God forgave us. Amen. Hallelujah. But for that crowd that don't, we still hold them accountable. But we don't allow that to give us grief of mind and stop serving the Lord. The child that's wayward, we do not allow that to stop us from serving the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God, first commandment, with all thy mind. How can I love the Lord all of my mind if I've got it cluttered with all kinds of mess that's happened in my life? There's things that we go through, there's circumstances, there's people that do things to hurt us. There's trials, there's troubles, there's tribulations, amen? And people do things against us and do things to hurt us, whether it's a child or a spouse or whatever the case is. And they've hurt us. And we've got that filth in our mind. We've got that dirt that's got into our mind. How do we get that out? Well, we can't erase it. And God says, I'm to forgive them, but they've not repented. And I've told them what they've done, and I've explained to them that it's hurt me, but they haven't repented. What do I do? You keep serving the Lord. You bring into captivity every thought that you have. You gird them thoughts up, because we're still serving the Lord. They've sinned. They've done wrong. They've got away from God. They've sinned against God. You're not the one that done that. Y'all help me tonight. Amen? If you're not the one that did those things, they're the one that did it. And if you're not careful, you'll ponder on that. You'll keep it in your mind. And before long, you're a prisoner of your own mind. Because you won't let those things go. You have to clean your mind. You have to wash your mind and get the filth out. The thing about forgiveness, the Bible teaches us that we're to forgive whenever they ask for forgiveness, but if they don't, then we hold them accountable. But we don't dwell on those things and keep those things at the forefront of our mind. It will hinder our work, it'll hinder our walk with the Lord, and it'll cause us to be so cluttered in mind that we can't focus on what the will of the Lord is. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, "Forbear it one another and forgive it one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye, as Christ did," when they repented. All right? And now we understand tonight, if we get a hold of this, I'm hoping that we can get a hold of this, and we can clean up the things that's in our mind. We've been hurt. We've had sorrows. We've had grief of mind. We've had so many things that's hurt us through life, and we've dwelt with those that has hurt us. We've tried to cover it up, tried to do everything we could to make things right, and we just can't make things right. And so we have to understand that God has instructed us as believers to trust Him. Amen. To trust Him with our life. And trust Him with those that has done us wrong. They have wronged us. We did our part. They didn't repent. Isaac and Rebekah was so hurt over Esau's actions. But they didn't let that stop them. They continued to serve the Lord. And so they got the Word of God and they began to read the Word of God and they washed their minds with the water of the Word. How do I deal with those thoughts that enter my mind? Pick your Bible up. Amen. Pick your Bible up. There's a blessed hope. Hallelujah. Amen. There's the blessed hope. I think of David. And David has many times throughout Scripture had bragged on the Lord. In the book of Psalms, we find that David is reminiscing about the days of old. And he thinks about all the things that had happened to him, where Saul was trying to attack him and all those men was chasing him and Absalom and all those was trying to hurt him. And he mentions those things and then he turns from that and starts bragging about the Lord. He said, "I muse or I think on those things that thy hands have done." He gets to thinking about the goodness of the Lord and where God's brought him from and how God protected him and God's protecting hand. Let me go this direction real quickly. That's about somebody else hurting us. What about whenever we've done things ourselves? What if we've hurt somebody? What about the things that we've done in our past that clogs our mind? We've done wrong. Listen, you are what you are by the grace of God. Amen. And, anybody sitting here tonight or anybody in the sound of my voice said, "I've never done anything wrong," you're lying. Right. Amen? Amen? You cannot sit here tonight and say, "I'm a perfect saint," because the Scripture doesn't teach it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? Amen? Everybody has hurt somebody and done something that's wrong. And many people tonight are a prisoner of their own mind and they have grief of mind and sorrow of mind because they cannot get over their past and the things they've done to hurt someone else. Many people before they got saved done things that were ungodly and wicked and wrong. Apostle Paul is a great example of that. He persecuted the church. Paul, as he listened in the book of Philippians chapter 3, Paul is talking about the greatness of the Lord. Let me read some scripture to you tonight. And talking about Paul, and he says, finally, brethren, chapter 3, verse 1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of, verse number 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel. Watch now what Paul says. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss. Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul is saying that all the things that I did in my past, persecute the church, all those things that I did in my past, I count them but dung, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Can you imagine, let me borrow your mind for just a moment, could you imagine the Apostle Paul and the things he did in his past, and the people that he hurt? He was a persecutor of the church. He put people to death for their faith. Killed moms and dads for their faith. Now the Bible doesn't say, and Paul doesn't write it, he doesn't pin it down. He doesn't say anything about the night that he would lay in the bed and could hear the screams of those that were persecuted or put to death. Could you imagine that? And listen, he was known for being a persecutor, a murderer, of those that went to the church that had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And could you just imagine? He doesn't pin that down. He doesn't say anything about that. About the sleepless nights and the heartache and the headache and the burden. He don't say anything about none of that. But he does say those things in the past, I count them as but dung. Get rid of it. Paul said, I think of these things and I count them but loss. I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I get rid of all that stuff. I get it out of my mind. My focus is not on the past. My focus is on the present. To win in Christ. To know everything I can know about my Lord. Amen. To be well pleasing to Him. Paul said, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting, what's this now? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Can't go back and change a thing, can't erase it from your mind. But you've got to get it out of there. Amen? What do I do in the middle of the night whenever a thought comes up of something that happened in my past? What do I do? How many of y'all create thoughts in your mind? I mean, just automatically say, hey, I want to think about this. Well, we don't do that. It just pops up there. I don't know how that happens. I don't know anybody knows how that happens. But it does. You think of things. What in the world? Why did I think about that for? What's that in my mind? But whenever those things come in, you have to dismiss it. You've got to get it out of there. Get out of my mind. I'm not thinking about that. I don't want to think about that. And you start thinking about the Lord, the excellency of Christ, the hope in Christ. Thank God there's a better place. Amen? That there's a better day of coming. You think on those things. Paul said, think on those things which are honest and pure and true and right. Amen? Paul said to think on those things. And so that's how we get these bad thoughts out of our mind, forgetting those things which are behind us, and reaching forth unto those things which are before us. Verse number 14, I press toward the mark. That's what we have to do. As born-again believers, we've got to press toward the mark. We've got to keep moving forward. Amen? You cannot allow yourself to be a prisoner of your mind. You cannot allow yourself to ponder and wonder on all the what ifs. What if that had never happened? What if I'd never done this? Or what if they'd never done that? And what if? And what if? And what if? We can't live our life on what ifs. Gird up the loins of your mind. The mind is a very powerful tool. Many children have broken the hearts of parents. Many parents have broken the heart of the children. Many husbands have broken the heart of the wife. Many wives have broken the heart of the husband. Many spouses have run off with someone else. Broken homes, broken families, broken children. broken churches. We think about all those things and they get in our mind and we get clogged up and we get burdened down with all that stuff, and before long we find ourselves at the doctor's office and say, I got to have some help. Your help's not in the doctor's office. I said this on Sunday, your help's not in the pill, it's in the preacher. Amen. Pick up the Word of God. Go to the man of God and say, hey, I need some help. I've got some thoughts. It's bothering me. What do I do with it? As a matter of fact, had someone call me today, had some thoughts that was bothering them. So what do I do with this? And I was able to help them and give them some advice on what to do with that thought. You need to deal with it. And then dismiss it, flush it, get it out of there, and go on about your life. Amen? Amen. If we're not careful tonight, I want us all to understand when it comes to forgiveness, we don't forgive people just because. If they've offended us, the Scripture teaches us to go to them, rebuke them for the thing they've done, and if they repent, then we forgive them. But if they don't, we hold them accountable, but we don't dwell on that, we don't focus on that, we understand that there's a cleansing of our mind, renewing of our mind, and every day when we get up, we renew our mind. Amen. We read the Word of God. We think on the things that are true and honest, pure, that Paul talks about. We think about the precious Word of God, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church, the hope of the believer. We think on those things, and we keep our mind clean and pure, and we trust the Lord to get us through. Amen. Hope that's a help to you. Forgetting those things that are unforgettable. How do I erase that? You can't erase that. But you can't dwell on that. God, for Christ's sake, amen, God, listen, God forgave us. Did that mean that God forgot all the things that we did? Did God forget our sins? I know people have made that comment that God forgot all of my sins the day I got saved. God's attribute is not forgetfulness. God cannot forget. It's not part of His attribute. It's not part of His... He's divine. He does not forget. If God can forget your sins, there's probably some other things God can forget. But God does not forget. Do you forget the things that people have done to you? No, you do not forget those things. But the same as God, that for Christ's sake, forgave us, when people have hurt us and wronged us, we don't allow that to hinder us. If they repent, great. If they don't, we know what they did. We know their sin. We know they're wrong. But we keep moving forward. Does that make sense? Y'all understand that? You don't let it hinder you. You don't let that make you a prisoner. You don't let that stop you from doing what the Lord wants you to do and being obedient to the Word of God. If they've done something and they haven't repented, and it's a hurtful thing, it's a grief of mind, it's a sorrow of mind, you get that out of your mind, you clean your mind, you wash your mind, you study the Word of God, and you keep going forward for the cause of Christ, reaching for the mark. I know what they did and it hurt, but I'm not going to let that stop me from being what God wants me to be. Amen. I know what they did that was wrong. They sinned against me, they hurt me, but I'm not going to let that stop me from being what God wants me to be. I want to cross the finish line. Amen. I want to be able to cross the finish line with the guns ablazing. Amen. I want to go in with a bang. Amen. I want to go out with a bang and go in just wide open. Amen. Don't let what somebody's done in the past hinder you from being what God wants you to be, because you can't get it out of your mind. The mind is a very powerful tool. Amen. Very powerful tool. God instructs us all throughout Scripture how to deal with the mind. The believer's mind, it's the battlefield. And so many people tonight are dwelling on things that people's done and hurt them. Being whoever it was, family or friend or whatever. They're dealing with that in their mind and they can't let go of those things. You have to clean your mind and move forward and go on for the cause of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I hope it's a help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, tonight for the